session. We did get to two items that were on the closed session. One was the Regional Water Quality Control Board versus the LOCSD. This is the ACL complaint and our appeal to the State Water Resources Control Board, and we discussed the bankruptcy case. This is all pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 in parens B. The board did hear an update from legal counsel and did actually have a couple of their one of their special counsels appear by telephone. After answering questions, the board took no reportable action. There is the potential, if this meeting adjourns early, that we will return to closed session with an attempt to finish the closed session items.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Tonight on the agenda, we will start with general public comment. This is our regularly scheduled meeting for the month, and so we do have general public comment tonight. Excuse me. Mr. Schemp, did you have something?
I wanted to comment that due to administrative error, the agenda itself, not the package that you have, but the agenda itself has one item repeated twice, and the item that was in your packet but not on the agenda about approving the intertie connections with Golden State did not make the agenda, so therefore we cannot talk about it tonight. It's because it's not an emergency situation. It will be on the 18th. We have several other items, so we are recommending strongly to the board that we do have a meeting 2 weeks from tonight on the 18th, and at that point we will take up the issue of the intertie. Thank you.
Thank you. I knew that one meeting a month was too good to be true, that we tried that 1 month. Okay, now we'll go to general public comment. Anyone have anything they wish to share with us tonight?
Hi, my name is Priscilla Aiken. I live in Los Osos. Tonight I'm here representing Morro Coast Audubon Society, and which is, as of July 17th, we became the very happy owners of 8 additional acres at Sweet Springs Nature Preserve in Los Osos. The total size of that property now is 32 acres. Publicly, we want to thank the Trust for Public Land, the Wildlife Conservation Board, the State Coastal Conservancy, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service National Coastal Wetlands Program, and the Fish and Wildlife Service Section 6 Recovery Land Acquisition Program for helping us acquire that. We also want to thank the Donovan family for their ultimate agreement to sell the property for the permanent benefit of wildlife and the public. We are throwing a party at Sweet Springs, and everyone's invited to celebrate this. It will be on Sunday, September 21st, 2 to 5, and it will be at Sweet Springs. We'll have guided tours, birding, face painting, champagne, a special Sweet Springs cake. Additionally, there's lots of work to be done there after the party, not that day, but on September 27th from 8:30 to 12:30, we'll begin our Together Green volunteer work days there. So we like people to come and help water, weed, plant. We have a lot of work to be done. So we always are happy for donations of time and also for money. Anyone who wants more information on
that kind of thing, and they have been busy.
If you could put the bookmarks on the table over there, people can go get one.
Thank you. Yes.
Hi, my name is Karen Venditti, and thank you very much for letting me take a few moments, just a minute here, about a couple of important events coming up in the next couple of weeks. I know that water conservation is important to all of us, particularly as we strive to live within our balanced basin. There will be a water conservation event with exhibits on Saturday, September 13, from 1 to 4. That'll be followed by a potluck and ice cream social, and then a movie at 6, which is the movie is Flow, which is essentially about the global water crisis. This is free, open to the public. It's here at the South Bay Community Center. Again, that is Saturday the 13th. And then the following Friday night, and that's September 19, there's going to be an event, again, that is free to the public. We encourage everyone to come, and this is about the collection systems. It's an educational town hall or workshop where we have some folks coming from outside of Los Osos or any of the potential vendors or county or anyone else, people who are not involved so that they can be purely objective. We want this to be absolutely educational and informative and not slanted or biased in any way. And by the way, both of these events are partnered with or sponsored by the Appropriate Technologies Coalition. We are so grateful for our environmental groups who are standing behind these kinds of events, and that includes the Sierra Club, Surf Riders, and Slow Green Build. Thank you. Oh, if you have questions, call me, 528-7116. Thank you.
Quick one. Ms. Vendetti, you mentioned the September 19th, the collection system. Is there a time and location?
Oh, thank you. 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Thank you very much, Julie, here at South Bay Community Center. That's a Friday night, the 19th, 7 o'clock, here at South Bay Community Center. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chuck Krebs, Los Osos. I'm once again going to talk about our legal fees and taxpayer watch lawsuits. So much for happy stuff. I'm going to read this tonight so I don't take up 20 of your minutes last time. So I've come before this board for 4 straight months expressing my concern that the budget amount for legal fees is underfunded. I have suggested that you add, at a minimum, $150 to legal fees and make decisions on budget cuts in other accounts. I have also, for 4 months, asked that any member of Taxpayers Watch come before this community and explain what possible community benefit these lawsuits provide. They have failed to appear and explain. So at this point, I have to draw my own conclusions. They can't explain it. There is no community benefit. Just the opposite. It is costing the taxpayers of this community tax dollars, not savings. The reason for these lawsuits seem to be personal, and they are causing a loss of sorely needed funds for essential district services. Unfortunately, these lawsuits are real, and the legal fee accounts need to be funded, and for good reason. It saves lives. So once again, I request that this board form an ad hoc committee, 2 directors, the general manager, and a member of the finance committee or public, to identify a minimum of $150,000 in budget cuts. This committee would, and they would, come to an agreement. A complete board agreement would come quickly out of this ad hoc committee agreements at a board meeting. Even though we are unsure of the outcome of these lawsuits, we should be ready and be prepared to act quickly. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other general public comment tonight?
Hello, Alan Perlman, and I'm a candidate, Prohibition Zone. Just to add to something that were stated previously, actually, I'm not sure of you. I believe you guys granted the new 8 acres and the remainder of Sweet Springs water. And is that process complete, the will serve? I guess there's still some digging and trenching to be done. But I see Chuck's nodding his head yes, so that has happened, and that has helped the Audubon Society get ready for replanting some of that area. Other events, there have been 2 events, one in this room on Monday and one in Morro Bay Veterans Hall, and they were water scarcity turned into water abundance. Maybe one of the organizers is here and can talk about it some more. Those events, the event that was here was very well packed and very active and a success, and so was the event in Morro Bay. But we definitely had a lot more people here. It was really packed, and there was good attendance in the other event. The Water Board has met today, and they are meeting again tomorrow. On their agenda will be items on Los Osos. I won't be able to attend. I did attend today, and the City of Salinas was rather upset with some changes that the Water Board staff suggested to their stormwater management procedures. And I am seeing a trend with the Water Board. They have a lot of new directives, and they're shoving a lot of the words of California into documents that pertain to these cities. And Salinas had some objections because their biggest problems isn't impervious sidewalks as much as it is that they are in a floodplain, and they were trying to negotiate some other wording in their documents. So there are trends with the Water Board, and I think we're going to continue to see this as more stringent requirements come in. They are going to be pushing those in, and for instance, tomorrow, unrelated to Los Osos, a house that burnt down was replaced and is now required to have a much better septic tank than the septic tank released directly into Carmel Creek. But if you read what they have to do now, they actually have to have ultraviolet light.
And three successive agenda items in closed session, which I realize he cannot review any of the specifics, but the question arises, what has ever happened to the general manager's performance review? We've never heard any report on it. Is it continued, or has it stopped, or has it been reviewed? I think that the community is entitled to some kind of information, since this is the third agendized item under closed session. That having been said, there is an agenda item, which, as always, is the fire department. And I think that we have a problem in our community. And I think that the people of the community must realize that they themselves are the ones that can fix this problem. And that being a very simple solution, putting your numbers of your address on your property. There are a lot of remodels, there are a lot of new fences, and there is a members of the community that do not realize that if they want emergency help, whether it be fire department, police department, or health department, they're going to have their numbers on their properties. There have been, and there are, five consecutive residences without any numbers on their properties. How in all of this world do you expect the emergency services to find you when you need help? It is your responsibility to take care of it. Please do so immediately. Thank you.
That's a good suggestion, Gwen. I'm sure most people like to think that it won't happen to them. But the idea is to be prepared. And in terms of the performance evaluation, we just ran out of time in closed session tonight.
Frank Salil, Los Osos. First, I want to start out with the discussion I had last time I was here about the continuation that the water issue is a water basin issue, not a water purveyor issue. And I didn't talk about the last time about the opportunity of a 218 vote, going with the county going to 218 to manage the water basin, even setting up a special district to deal with specifically the basin instead of having just the water purveyors in the county. Set up a whole new system, as they have done in places like Ojai, which they have not only are the water purveyors involved, but the county is involved and the city is involved. So, you know, I don't think a 218 would be something that would have too much difficulty, but the lawyer would be able to tell us that. And also, there's a possibility of a special tax, similar to what we did with the fire department. Special tax would include a set amount that all people who own property within the water basin would pay to take care of the water basin. So those are two issues, two items I want to discuss earlier. Now I want to bring up about my disappointment with the board regarding PARC. Now I know that you didn't want to get involved in the issue of Montana Doro, keeping that open for people, but I'd like to at least go for the county to request at least provide us with some additional parkland that's available for free for the people here of Los Osos. Thank you.
Michael Jones, Los Osos. For 48 very long hours last month, I was a candidate for this Los Osos CSD. After two sleepless nights of tormented, torturous, high blood pressure, manic depressive, high anxiety freakout attack, I decided to withdraw my name from the ballot. I asked myself the question, what's the worst possible thing that could happen to me if I were to run for a seat on the CSD? The most truthful answer to this question was the terrifying thought that I might actually get elected. I am here tonight to thank all the folks I ran into at the grocery store, the pizza parlor, the corner market, and the beach for their support and encouragement, and I apologize to my friends and supporters for not following through. You can't run for a seat on the CSD just because others want you to, and you shouldn't run for a seat on the CSD just because you don't want someone else to sit in it. Most of all, you shouldn't express an interest in running for the CSD without fully thinking it through and committing yourself to it 100%. This was another mistake I made, so I will again apologize. Upon reflection, I came to the realization that when I was created, it was an activist God made and not a politician. From your side of the table, self-consciousness would have caused me to be guarded and politically correct in my criticisms of people and policy. Anybody who knows me, anybody who has ever read one of my letters or heard me speak, and everyone who is on my email list knows I am not very good at sugarcoating the way I feel about things. It would have been a very short matter of time before I said the wrong thing about the wrong person or thing, bringing degradation upon myself to the detriment of those I represent. A cage is no place for a tiger, an aquarium is no place for a killer whale. I am not comparing myself to a tiger or a killer whale, for I am far too weak. Regarding this decision, I have chosen to take the cheap and easy route. It's far too easy to come down here whenever I feel like it and say whatever I want. Not many beasts who walk this earth would lock themselves in this cage. Not many fish who swim the ocean would place themselves in such an aquarium. To do this requires strength, intestinal fortitude, and endurance that I do not possess. In considering my decision, I did come to more deeply appreciate the rigorous path of sacrifice the five of you have chosen and the wanting five are willing to take. If God or fate will not love you for this, then I will. I also came to the realization that not everybody in this town loves me. I remember the lady I ran into who asked me why all my comments at meetings were so negative. I could only respond by saying, if there wasn't so much to complain about, I wouldn't be so happy. Finally, I would ask everyone who encouraged and supported me to join me in voting for Karen Vendetti to represent our community on the Los Osos CSD. I believe Karen possesses all the qualities required to serve on this CSD and represent our community. Thank you. I'm sorry if my comments were over the top, but 2 weeks of watching convention speeches made me crazy. Thank you.
Unfortunately, Mr. Jones, we have no budget for a speechwriter, so we can't.
All the abuse they took. Thank Julie Tacker. I believe her Move the Sewer project was very worthwhile. I joined that with her. She asked me if I would help out, and I said, well, the location isn't half as bad as the technology. She says, well, if we get it moved, that'll all start over at the beginning. So I joined in on it, and I want to thank you all for stopping the project, and I won't be back here at the next meeting saying that I didn't mean thank you for stopping the project, because that was the worst nightmare we could possibly ever have had. It just kept getting worse. In Measure B, we have the attorney that said, we can't have Measure B. We won't be able to build anything in town, and that's exactly what I thought Measure B should be, and I said so at the time. There's been, you know, a lot of back and forth in this thing, but if you look at the reports and the water and the test well reports, you find out that the nitrates are dropping, probably two factors. 12 of the wells have been redrilled and sealed properly, and the smokestacks aren't spitting out soot like they used to. That's two of the reasons. So we really are being forced into a project we don't need, and it's all fraudulent data from illegal wells. I was at the water board earlier today and explained to them about the elder abuse that's happening by trying to raise the taxes so much on old people, a lot of them 20 years older than me, that fought for their freedom in World War II. And they're being forced probably to reverse mortgage their house or whatever to pay a sewer bill that we don't need. And that's elder abuse in the extreme. Thank you.
Maria Kelly, Los Osos. I want to thank Karen for getting here early on time. I was at a school barbecue, back to school barbecue, which was equally fun, but I wanted to be here. For announcing the event, I did bring the larger poster, and I'll set it up in the back for the event, and I'll give the directors some information. There's a lot of different nonprofits and agencies and then business support, and it should be a really fun time. Even more than that, if you can't make that September 13th from 1 to 4, there is a movie that Bob Banner from Hope Dance, when we started talking about this in April, here's the movie, Flow. It is being released in L.A. and New York the day before we're going to be showing it. So this is a really opportunity. It is free. It's been sponsored by the Coast Keeper through Hope Dance. And it's about the globalization and privatization of our water supply. So if you can't come to the event, at least try to come to see the movie or come to a portion of both. But I think the movie should have we're going to have an opportunity to have a discussion. And maybe Karen mentioned that Noah Smuckler would be here to facilitate a conversation after the movie just to talk about that. I'd like to comment on Measure B in that it's been an incredible expense to this community. And maybe it did have the impact that it needed to have. But in a turn, and let the community think that it was appropriate and continue to hold it out there as appropriate, was disingenuous. And I think it's unfortunate that it hasn't been dismissed. I think it's unfortunate that the community hasn't questioned more how a CSD all of a sudden was standing behind land use law. And never questioned the attorney and the conflict of interest in that. I'm glad Burke Williams and Sorensen is gone. There's no question that I felt like they had some serious conflicts of interest, and I appreciate that John Seitz is back. But I question a board that doesn't question their legal counsel and the advice that they're giving them. This lawsuit does not belong in the bankruptcy. It should have been settled a long time ago, and I think the reason why it wasn't settled was personal. You didn't like who brought it on. It's uncomfortable, but it should have gone away. It's been an incredible expense, and it really has no place. And I think you need to let the county deal with it. Thanks.
Dave DeLososos, I believe that the ISJ is the best way to go with dealing with the basin and the water management plan that's going to come out of that. That there should not be any other process thrown in there or even thought about, because actually this is what the court says must be done. And the county has joined in with us, thank God. And let's set that aside. I am a candidate for the LOCSD, but let's not talk about me. There's a person that is running also that I believe that person had spoken up at the Regional Water Quality Control Board. The dialogue between the county and the Regional Water Quality Control Board may not have taken place as soon as it did. And in that event, that person basically got the heat off the community for a while and got the Regional Water Quality Control Board to look at what efforts were truly being made in this community and by the county for finding a solution to the problem in Los Osos. And as well as this person is also on the technical advisory committee for the Los Osos Water Project. And it's been very objective when several on that committee have been very subjective and has kept an open mind and has approached all of the rough screening, the fine screening, all the technical amendments with an open mind and fairness. And that person is also a candidate for the LOCSD, and that's Karen Vendetti, who I back as a candidate to sit on the as a board member, and I support her 100%. And also, too, I'd like to echo something Mary Kelly said. I appreciate that John Seitz is back. He is one of those type of persons that knows all the players in the game, knows how to deal with them, and basically knows the ins and outs of what's going on with LOCSD as well as the county and the state and other entities. And I do appreciate the fact that he is back, and I wish he had never had gone. And that being said, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that the League of Women Voters has a website set up for the candidates, so the candidates can...
I want to follow with what Chuck Cribbs brought up about budgeting for Taxpayer Watch lawsuit, and that it's costing this district potentially reducing the level of service from our fire department. That's serious stuff. And whatever they're seeking now, we've already gone beyond that as far as the expenses for an attorney. The one thing that I've repeatedly told you guys, and I still to this day do not understand why you do not pursue it, is Wildan is culpable in that whole issue regarding Taxpayer Watch against the board, against the misappropriation of money, whatever was done. Dan Blesky was in control of all of that and oversight of that. You hired Wildan to come in and save a district that was in distress. And your opportunity, I think, is about to expire. And they should be a player in this game, and they shouldn't be an empty chair. I think it's serious that you guys should take heed to it and do something about it. I don't understand. I don't even understand why Taxpayer Watch isn't going after that, because it's vengeance against this board. This board was elected to stop a sewer project that the community voted against. Measure B represented the fact they did not want a sewer in the middle of town. The legality was one thing. The land use issue is another thing. They didn't want the land in the middle of Los Osos to be a sewer plant, and it passed. That was a gauge of the community, period. The real detriment to this community was Gordon Hensley, Richard LeGros, and Stan Gustafson starting the damn project. That cost this community $20, $30, $40 million, period. Not what they're suing you guys for. There's no comparison. But they're trying to recreate history or try... I don't know what they're up to and why they're doing this, but the vengeance is awful. It's absolutely awful. And the association, Taxpayer Watch, Maria Kelly, Gordon Hensley, Coast Keeper, they're all combined, folks. And I hope that everyone sees through all of that. I just think it's a real concern about the continued legal expenses and how it may jeopardize this community for fire safety. And if Taxpayer Watch is really concerned about this community, they would stop it. Where is Gordon? Where is Richard LeGros trying to help the district and help this community? They're not. They're behind the scenes. They've never come to this microphone after they were recalled to defend themselves. Thank you.
Don Bearden, Los Osos. I was never in favor of a CSD to begin with. You guys are pointing fingers at Taxpayers Watch, and the ones that are pointing the fingers are just as guilty as Taxpayers Watch. Every CSD that we've had has cost us more and more money. If we'd let the county do the project in the first place, we'd have been paying $77 a month, had a project out of town, and wouldn't have to be worrying about all this stuff at all. I wanted the CSD dissolved. That's why I didn't run for a director. I thought it'd be kind of hypocritical if I ran for a director seat where I don't even...
Richard Margetson, I've got to respond to that last comment. It's interesting that Don felt it would be hypocritical of himself to run for CSD when he didn't support a CSD, but he supports Maria Kelly to run for CSD when she made a statement and supported the dissolution of the CSD. I'm trying to find the nexus there that makes sense, but I don't think it does. Taxpayer Watch lawsuits. I'm going to follow up on Keith and Chuck. You have an item coming up later that states that through June 30th. Legal fees related to Taxpayer Watch are $122,000. Fire and emergency services may be in jeopardy by the end of this fiscal year if this isn't addressed. You know, Taxpayer Watch, the hypocrisy of Taxpayer Watch that has constantly bothered me, is the only thing they're concerned about as an organization, is this lawsuit. They haven't come to the microphone on anything else. Did anybody from that group come and say anything about, you know, some even the minor issues? The calendar? The calendar as an example. A Taxpayer Watch group would have been all over that. Gordon was a board member. I don't want to bring up the list again, but look at all the things that he supported that a Taxpayer Watch group would have never been in favor of. Fire mechanic that was not cost justified. The vehicle we sold to Oceano at a loss that was driven off the property one time. The little pet project that Chief Pickens did. I mean, let's go down the list. But my concern is at this point, when are we going to get that surprise visit from somebody from CAL FIRE? That the continual taking from the fire reserves and the continual taking from the fire department budget has put our level of service in jeopardy. Because at some point, folks, we're going to need that $550,000 fire engine. At some point, the pad in the back of the fire station is going to need to be replaced. At some point, they're going to need that new furnace. All these things that have been put off. Where else are you going to get it? Water rate increases? You know, Don said he protests another water rate increase. I believe you may have a problem getting another increase passed. Thank you.
Any additional public comment tonight? If not,
good evening. My name is Al Barrow, and I'm Coalition for Low Income Housing and Citizens for Affordable and Safe Environment, sponsor of the Measure B. And it's election time now. It's a very important election. Please, everybody, get out and register. If you can't, go down and vote. Make sure that you have an absentee. I wanted to address is that the community really needs to unite, and we need to start looking at each other's good points and giving each other credit for the good things, because there's something good about everybody here, and there's something that we all have a lot of things in common. We're all human beings, for one. You know, I mean, you could go on and on, but it's important to try not to hurt people and to try to be as positive as you can. And I'd like to thank Karen for putting on this meeting on the 19th of September here at the Community Center. It's an important meeting. Environmental groups will come together, and they will give you their opinion of the two different collection systems, STEP and Gravity. Is that right? Yeah, so that's important. The other thing I wanted to say is that the sewer that the county's proposing has some huge numbers to it that aren't affordable and that don't need to be that high. And there are methods. For example, we have a contractor's willing to come in and put in a collection system for $12.5 million. Another contractor's willing to put in a treatment pond outside of town where there's no biosolids, low energy, for under $10 million. Those numbers, $22.5 million, are nowhere close to $150. In fact, I talked to one of their representatives last week, and he said his numbers are between $170 and $215 million. These are not affordable. We need a sewer that we can all live with, that we won't be throwing our friends out of town. So be looking forward to finding out more about that, that more information will be coming up. We went out with the county. We looked at a lot of high-tech stuff yesterday, and they're going in the wrong direction, I think. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any additional general public comment tonight? Items not on the agenda. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Yes, Director Schicker.
I am
going once, going twice.
I had some comments. I wanted to respond to some of the public comment this evening. And it has to do with, first of all, I like Mr. Barrow's comments about starting to get along. We've always asked for that. I think it's the time for peace and coming together and getting away from the past. And there do need to be some explanations about something that Ms. Kelly said about the lawsuits and the Burke, Rams, and Sorensen. There's a little bit more to the story to that, and she couldn't possibly know because she wasn't there, and we can't tell everything because it's in closed session. But the lawsuit that was brought about Measure B in the summer by the board that was recalled, Hensley, LeGros, and Gustafson, that lawsuit about Measure B, a lot of those pieces of that lawsuit got moved to the private sector once they were recalled. They used the district's product and sued the district. So when there's a complaint about the lawyer paying out fees, disingenuous, and the only reason that we had to pay any lawyers was because the recalled directors were suing the district on the same issue. And it was a political issue. But the district was not who voted for Measure B. It was a citizen initiative. I think that gets lost. The citizens voted for Measure B. It wasn't the district. We took it out of the district's hands and put it in the citizens' hands. Once, because I'm very concerned, too, about why we are here. And are we here just to pay lawyers? Is that what this has become? Or are we here to provide services to the people? And that's where I'd like to see us go. Thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll move on to administrative and committee reports. And first up tonight is the District Cal Fire Manager's report. And I assume, Mr. Shemp, you will be given that. I don't see...
Mr. I will. Williams. I received a call earlier, and Phil is, our battalion chief is involved in a fire. And he said he would try to make it here, but he apparently is not. Of interest in this report, several things. One, we still have room for more reserve firemen, so the call is still out for those. Two, there's been a lot of internal training. And then on the next page in his report, he does report on community outreach, and there's some pictures in his report where they've participated in the Village Children's Center Children's Carnival on July 13th, and they were also guest presenters at a kids' evening at the Los Osos Library. And on a final note, the special programs project section of his report is covering the fire abatement. He notes in there that there are still 10 parcels in violation of the fire code. Staff has contacted three of those and are making progress with those three, but the other seven, we continue to try to search out those owners and deliver the notices to abate. Also, Phil would probably have included in his report for the next month, but I'll mention it tonight, is that this last week on Friday, we spent some time with California Parks and with Fish and Wildlife and reviewed certain sections of our community to see if, with our own new focus group, to see if we could develop a project. And it looks like we've identified one out near the mobile home parks. It looks like it's doable and doable quickly. It would be an initial success and get some good PR. You'll be hearing more about this as the project is developed. But it was a worthwhile meeting with all the players involved, and it looks like we'll be able to move forward with the blessings of Fish and Wildlife and California Parks. And that concludes the Fire Chief's report.
Thank you. And it looks like you may be handling the District Utilities Manager's report tonight, too.
Yes. George Milanis had a medical procedure this afternoon and had hoped to make it tonight, but I see that he's not here either. I'm hoping that, that both reports from July and for August are in the report, and we've finally decided on what exactly we're going to use for a measurement, and I'm in hopes that when using the actual million gallons, we're working on gallons only, not using acre feet anymore, that it will clear up some of the problems we've had with previous reports. And I'm sure.
Director Tacker, you had a question?
Only just something that came up in the last meeting that I didn't know anything about, and I probably can't even ask the question. There was some noise down at the 16th Street project.
Yes.
Has that been stopped?
Finally.
Actually, the very next day, I think, after I mentioned it our last meeting, they were out paying attention to it. And I don't
yes.
know if it stopped that night
there,
or not.
There was I'm here to offer the apologies of the John Madonna Company and John Madonna himself. There was a miscommunication. Everybody assumed, including he, that it had been taken care of. And, in fact, it had not been. As a result of the meeting last 2 weeks ago, the individual in question said, we're still got a problem here, made that aware to us the next day. I don't like being misled. I'm sure that lady didn't like being misled. And they did get on it right away. But we all had bum information at the meeting 2 weeks ago. As I understand now, that they literally came out, climbed the tank, and took it down. So I think we finally solved it.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Yes, Director Schicker.
I just had a question on the graph. The graph that shows very nicely water production versus water consumption through the years. Do you have any comments to make on that, or could you just tell the public in general why our consumption is always less than our production?
What was the last of that, Director Schicker? What did you say, the last sentence?
Just in general, could you explain to the public why our water production is more than our water consumption?
We'll start with that, if you will. The water consumption is measured through the meters, and that's what we bill on. But mm-hmm. if there's any leaks anywhere in the system, then that is, we measure the water production at the wellheads. Mm-hmm. So if there's any losses anywhere through the system.
So it records all the losses, which are mainly leaks.
Mainly
in the
leaks.
System.
It could be fire hydrant flushing. It could be work in progress on a line. We've had to flush it. So it's generally, it's the difference between what's read at the wellhead and what's read at the meter. And we've been pretty good at tightening that up. I think, as you can see here, that we're getting better and better. Not great, but we're still making progress.
Is there a graph that shows the percentage increase or decrease in that when you say we're tightening up? I was trying to look quickly at the graph and couldn't get that. Is there another graph?
I don't see one. That's a good idea. Why don't I get you one?
Yeah, just like a percentage
right.
difference.
Thank you. Excellent suggestion.
Director Schicker, what are you looking for?
The manager said that we are tightening up and we're losing less, and I wondered if there was a way we could just show the percentage of loss. That I didn't see it in the charts, and on the color ones, it'd be easy to show just a quick percentage of tightening up.
What you're saying is the reduction in leakage that we've been accomplishing by tightening up the system.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, the data I'm looking at so far doesn't really say that, but we have to go another couple of years.
Okay, no other questions from staff. We'll move on to...
There is currently a hearing for a motion to augment the administrative record. This is based on the petitions, and that's currently set for August 8th, 2008. October 8th, 2008. We're also reporting tonight on the Los Osos Community Service District bankruptcy case. As alluded to in public comment, Taxpayers Watch has filed a motion from relief from stay to continue the Measure B litigation that had been stayed in bankruptcy. The district is taking a position that relief from stay should not be granted, and it's basically premised on the county's project. As you may recall, the county is obligated after their due diligence period under AB 2701 to make a decision whether to pursue the project, and if they do pursue the project through a resolution of intention, then the project will move forward under the county's tutelage, thereby making Measure B moot, because Measure B by itself only, as stated in the preamble, only applied to the district. If the county has the project, there is no point in pursuing Measure B. If, on the other hand, the county adopts a resolution of its intention not to pursue the project, then Measure B may make sense to have relief from stay, because that would be back in the district's hands and then would be the appropriate time to address it. Anyway, the district is actively opposing that motion from relief from stay. It will surely, if passed, require more legal fees to be paid in defending that the district's position of Measure B. We've heard that the negotiations with Whitaker is primarily complete. There are a few other signatures that need to be acquired, and the arbitrator has to sign the agreement. So that's moving forward, and we are moving forward with negotiations with Bernard. The other lawsuit that we're reporting on is a district lawsuit against American Alternative Insurance Corporation. This is in federal court. This is the district's motion to compel our insurance carriers to defend the district directors regarding the Taxpayers Watch lawsuit. We have a hearing for motion of summary judgment, and only a lawyer will appreciate this, but this motion is primarily based on the duty to defend, not the duty to pay. But if we are successful with this, then we should be able to recover the majority, if not all, of the money the district is spending on this defense. So that's the primary objective of this motion. Again, that's September 15, 2008, in the federal court down in Los Angeles. So we're looking forward to the court's decision. And by the way, just because I say it's September 15th, I should probably advise everybody, that doesn't mean we get a decision on September 15th. You know, that's the date that the
time for district staff. We've spent a lot of time, and we'll be getting into it later tonight, on trying to resurrect and figure out where we are on our finances and budgets. As you'll hear tonight, that we did not finish out 07-08 in very good order. And but at least we understand what the problems are and can go forward on that. So we've spent a fair amount of time going over that. We've also, as I mentioned, developed a schedule along with working with general counsel on the litigation and tried to get a handle again internally as to what the schedules are for all the various cases and when, who's doing what to when. I think it's important that we in the district office try to at least stay current on that stuff. We've done some internal training today and tomorrow. We're working with the Cal Fire on emergency operations. We had some training today, and it's continued again tomorrow morning. And finally, to report to you that I participated, as I mentioned earlier, in that Fire Safe local focus group tour of some of our areas that are threatening some of the mobile home parks on the south side, south and east part of town. That concludes my report. Oh, sorry. On the 18th, we hope to bring forward, there's been some serious questions on everybody's part about how we handle the check register, how we handle the checks, when and how we do all that. And with council's input, we are reviewing that and expect to make some recommended changes and hope to have that available at least for discussion on the 18th, if not for adoption. But it's also been interesting doing the research. I just today got an email from Templeton because I was asking them how they did it, and of course it created they started looking through their files and said, gee, we're not sure why we do the way we do. So it might be helpful for several different districts to take a serious look at how we handle that. The hope is that we come up with a system so that you, when you say we don't want to pay this, it makes sense because it hasn't been paid. Now, clearly, we're going to be exempting things like payroll and the PG&E, et cetera, et cetera.
but we're hoping to give at least some broad range for the board to take a serious look at legals, at some of our contractors, some of our consultants. To do that, we're going to have to streamline our processes internally so that we don't run into charges for bills that are too late. So we need to do work internally in the office to figure out how to do that quicker. But we hope to bring some suggestions to you on the 18th. Thank you.
Any news or updates about HCP, Tri-W, any correspondence with Fish and Wildlife County, Coastal Commission, that kind of thing?
None whatsoever, sir.
None whatsoever. How about any progress on legal RFQ that was, or request for proposals, excuse me, that was put out maybe 6 weeks ago?
We've had a couple of responses. We're still hoping for a couple more.
How much longer are we going to hold that filing period open? Did we ever specify an end date on that?
We didn't, and we're still hoping for a key one in the near future.
Okay.
That was a date in February. Anything we've done, we have very little. But I don't. Other than the effort to collect the data, we're not going to be. I don't see any reason for us to spend any money on it.
What does he want? What does he want us to do? He said something about notice. I gave you notice. You must comply. What does he want?
I have no idea.
Is he threatening to sue us? Is kind of what I want to know. Is that what that means when he says that?
Well, no. You saw the letter. I mean, I think you could probably anticipate as well as Mr. Shemp can. Basically, he was asking for all correspondence between the district, I think, and Fish and Wildlife, anything that related to snails and Tri-W, and what kind of progress we had been made in addressing the earlier allegations of harm to snails through lack of maintenance of the fence, which was kind of counter to the harm to snails for removing the fence that we had tried to do. So I think there's only one mind that knows what he wants. And it's probably the one that ran a campaign on it's your money when he... Never mind. Let's see. Let's move on. If there are no other questions of the general manager, we'll move on to committee reports. Any directors reporting attendance at other agency committee meetings? Okay. Nothing to report. Okay, on to the consent calendar. Tonight on the consent calendar, we have administrative committee reports, prior meeting minutes, approved financial statements for the period ending June 30th, 2008, and then received the district statement of cash balances as of August 27th, 2008. At this time, we'll take public comment. Yes, Mr. Shemp, I'm sorry.
Staff would like to move item 5, remove it from the consent agenda. The issues there are going to be so closely tied up with the 07-08 budget adjustments and reserve for encumbrances that we think it might be better to handle the whole thing under item C.
So deal with 5 on the consent calendar along with item C of the general action items.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that leaves 3, 4, and 6. Director Sparks.
I guess I'd like to remove item 6 for separate discussion on discussion of cash balances. And Mr. Seitz, is that okay? Because I want to discuss about unbudgeted, these cash balances in the context of unbudgeted expenses in 08-09.
I'm sorry, I really didn't get the question.
I want to remove item 6 for separate discussion.
I think that's your prerogative.
Okay.
Okay, we'll pull item 6 for separate discussion. That leaves us with 3 and 4. At this time, we'll take public comment on the consent calendar items or the administrative reports.
Hello, Perlman, Prohibition Zone, and I will get to... the general manager's comments in a few seconds here, and it we brought in a previous meeting, and that was I'm seeing that $10,000 were transferred from the drainage fund to legal, but I'm not seeing what is remaining within the drainage fund. And also, I do have a question that I can't answer from what I'm seeing here: does the drainage fund contain contingency elements, or is it purely as regards projects that are planned? So that's just one question. But I am interested in your process. I think your process is improving. I think we saw that, and this is in the minutes also. Your process improved very much thanks to Mr. Seitz, who led you through the process of the register. And I think Director Sparks, didn't quite see at first maybe that the board needs to communicate with you, and you did get a result, and as Mr. Seitz did comment on that, and policies and procedures are very important in the upcoming times. It is a budget crunch. It is a level of reorganization, and I hope that you make the most of your time before the election and continue, because the auditing service did suggest certain changes, and it's best that you tighten up all those policies and procedures. One policy and procedure that you have not made is whether or not the various, for example, the water manager, the painting of the tank, these things that have happened could be covered by a policy that tells the general manager and the water manager not to put out public information without going through a board member. But as far as the going through the budget and allowing it to be better understood while still within general accounting.
Thank you, sir. And I'm also going to ask those in the back of the room, and I will call out back of the room, please be respectful. There's an echo. I couldn't tell if we had feedback coming from the speakers in our video system or our audio system or not. I think there was a question about drainage contingencies somewhere in there. I'm not really quite sure. Was it... Mr. Schemp, did you catch that question?
I did, although it's not on the subject, but we will talk about that when we get to that part of the agenda.
Thank you.
Dave Dugan, I just got a few things to say before I go home, and I will watch the rerun of this to see what the business of the district is. I don't think I need to be here for everything, since this is televised and reran. I am glad that you brought up the CDOs and PISLDEF, and I have been privy to conversations between certain persons of the prohibition zone and staff of the regional board, and I'm not going to say who that person is, but I am going to say that the conversation has been that the staff of the regional board believes that as long as the county is going forward with what they're doing, that the petition should be asked and answered, that they can say that people within the prohibition zone are in compliance as long as the county is moving forward. And yet we still have to go through this process of spending money on appeals. And perhaps they need to explain that and make themselves clear. And that's the only thing I need to speak on, and I'm going to go home and watch a good movie and watch this on the reruns tomorrow. Thank you.
Yes, Director Tacker.
Mr. Dugan's comments made me wonder, and I should have asked Mr. Schimpf, do you know what is the best time to attend tomorrow's Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting with relation to the Los Osos item?
I do not. I mean,
maybe someone else in the room would give a time closest. The meeting starts at 8:30. Our item is
three items in on the agenda.
Okay, so it'd be good to get there early just so those of you that are going to stay up and watch us tonight can get there in the morning.
And I would remind the directors, we have not noticed the special meeting, so make it a point not to sit too close together, and if you're going to talk, make sure someone else is there to make sure we're not talking district business. Thank you. Yes, Mr. Bearden.
Don Bearden, Los Osos. I'm responding to Mr. Seitz's schedule of legal events, and one of them is the hearing on a motion for relief from stay for Measure B. I still didn't understand what all that was about. It seems to me that the board is still continuing to try to say Measure B is a good law and that they want to fight to keep it going. How much money is this fight costing the CSD? Can't we just drop that and let it go? Thank you.
Actually, what we're saying is let's leave it alone, let it lie in bankruptcy, so there is no money spent on it until the county decides what they want to do with the project. And at that point, it may or may not become an issue. If the county proceeds with the project, it's moot. We don't want to spend any more money on it.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. Just wanted to comment on the utility manager's reports. Looking at old videos throughout the last couple of years, I can recall numerous times of, I think the first time was when George Melendez reported that since they did the meter change out, the unaccounted for water was around 6%. And the industry standard is 10. Then it went up to like 12%. And then it was reported to be 36%. And now it's 9%. And the unfortunate thing is this board and the prior board have been relying on bad information. And I don't know what he bases this information on. And the changing of the water meters, to me, probably some other ones were inferior, but to continue that, I think the money would be better spent on water meters. And I had a question regarding whether the district council is permanent or whether we're still pursuing that, and you know, it's good to hear that you responded. Thank you.
It does seem hard to believe there'd be a 3% difference in leakage just due to hydrant cleaning or something that, well, yeah, large construction projects going on. Those don't get metered. Yeah. Yes.
Richard Margetson. So Gordon's on you about the snails. More important for him to pursue snails than keeping our level of emergency services. That's just my own comment. The utility manager's report, Mr. Shemp, I don't care how it's reported. I think what we're looking for is consistency, that the numbers are the same. But I do have to notice this month that production was down 12%, almost 3.4 million gallons, or a little over 10 acre feet. That's another reduction in revenue for the month of July over the month of July last year. You know, all these things are going to start adding up. Conservation's great, and we need it, and it's helping. You know, we've taken another 10 acre feet bite into saltwater intrusion. But there's a cost to this, and the cost may be at some point a serious evaluation of where this district is in all areas, from staffing to services provided, and it'll be interesting to see how the next couple months play out. It's also going to be interesting to see what the water rate study comes back with. The other, Lisa, you brought up about the graph in here. I just, the next time this graph is used on water revenue, the water revenue data on that one there, yeah, I think the last column the next time needs to reflect what the actual was, because I think the actual is in your item that we're going to be talking about later, and it's 1.644 million, and it's still showing the 1.588 that I mentioned last meeting. That is just a note for future graphs. That's it. Thank you.
Good evening again. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. I don't know if our general manager can answer these questions, but on contract number four, do you know when they expect to start pumping and possibly blending that water?
The project is scheduled, all projects are scheduled to be completed by the end of January. We expect that the plumbing, and that's what's, the well, as you know, has been drilled. Yeah. What we're doing now is putting the blending equipment in with the pumps, et cetera, and that's, we anticipate that being completed by the end of October.
Oh, great, great. And the other thing is the second well that was planned in the upper aquifer, now we don't have time to put that in on the iBank loan because we have to get the money back that we spent on the first well?
If I may, it's not a question of time. There, we'd have no more money left in the iBank to drill a second well.
As I understood, we would be reimbursed as soon as we got the first well in production?
Correct, but only that's because we use district's funds to drill it, so we're being reimbursed. Hopefully keep us still in the black.
Well, we can
it's
use
not
that.
Extra, not extra money to drill another well with.
We can use that money for legal expenses then. Thank you.
Additional public comment on consent calendar items 3 and 4, I believe it was, or the administrative and committee reports. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. And any questions here, any further comments? Any actions?
I move we approve the administrative, accept the administrative and committee reports and approves items 3 and 4 of our consent calendar.
Second.
Could we have a roll call, please, Ms. Vega?
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Schicker.
Yes.
Director Sparks.
Yes.
Vice President Tacker.
Yes.
President Cesena.
Yes. Okay, with that, I believe we're down to item 6 on the consent calendar, since 5 is going to move to the action items.
Mr. President, could we move general action items A and B up, since I think we have Mr. Martin here, and then do 6 afterwards, if that's possible.
Oh, sorry about that. Yes, sir. I think that would be perfectly appropriate. So we'll move on to general action item A. Actually, Mr. Schimpf, yes, would you give us a little rundown on these?
Well, number one, there is only one action item.
Yeah, I was wondering the difference.
As I mentioned before, there is no difference between A and B. They are both one and the same.
Good. My head can stop spinning now then.
Right. Internal problem. We'll do better in the future. There is, however, a correction that I want to make to the agreement, the franchise agreement that's in front of you. And then if you will turn to page 38, it is under franchise fees, section 19.1. And it currently reads, a contractor shall pay to district a franchise fee equal to 7.3%. And as all of us know, that should be in this district, 10%. So please make that correction in the text of the document there, the 7.3.
September 1st, so it's retroactive 2 days. This, as you've probably rehearsed at the prior board meeting, the
Mission Country Disposal, along with South County Sanitary, Inc. and Waste Management, Inc., have a number of challenges in front of them during the upcoming years, having to do with ensuring adequate capacity in the landfill. Two is converting their trucks from diesel to, what is it, propane, Tom, natural? Okay, yeah, new things. And what they have done is they, in order to secure the long-term financing for these capital projects, have requested their clients, which is basically other governmental agencies, to consider a 15-year agreement, which would assist them in financing these long-term goals, which are also long-term goals of the district, to have adequate capacity for solid waste. A number of agencies have already adopted the 15-year agreement, including the Los Osos Community Services District, the City of Pismo Beach, the City of Arroyo Grande, and other ones are currently considering them. And I might also point out that there's a number of agencies that have traditionally used 15-year agreements. And lastly, I'd want to point out that when you adopted your ordinances related to solid waste, when we took over the solid waste franchise, our policy was up to a 15-year agreement. Through the negotiation processes, and I wouldn't say that Bill Worrell of the IWMA was probably been very instrumental in all of this, we not only are this Mission Country, South County Senate, Mission Country here, right?
Yes.
Yes, Mission Country here get a 15-year agreement, but our residents also get a better deal. For one thing, our rates will be reduced by 1%. So even though we approved a 2.67% rate increase at our last board meeting through the Prop 218 processes, with your approval of this agreement, that will be dropped by 1% from our customers' rates, so they will get an instant savings in rates. Also, there's a number of new services that will be provided to the district during the next 15 years. There's at least two cleanup days per year that come with this 15-year agreement. There is two provisions related to solid waste services in public areas. And more importantly, maybe than just that, there is now a provision in here for abatement of bulky waste. And that is if waste is accumulated in public right-of-ways, public streets, something that the board has that is public, this doesn't pertain to private property, the district general manager, upon discovery of that, can direct the solid waste provider to remove it. So there are some direct benefits to that. Also, if there are new programs that come up during the next 15 years, there is a provision in here for a new diversion programs that can be implemented by the district. One of the other highlights that I wanted to bring to our attention, and that is by clause over the terms of the years, the district has the right to seek termination of the agreement. So we have a sort of a CPI clause control over this, and as you may recall, with the last rate increase, we adopted the CPI clause that is consistent with the contract. So hopefully we won't be seeing some extraordinary rate increases during the next upcoming years. And again, as Mr. Shemp has pointed out, there was one typo in this agreement. It's that 19.1. For whatever reason, we got in there 7.3%, and it should be 10%. And Tom, I'm sure, will fill you in on the 15-year agreement from his perspective. Nope?
I'm here for questions.
Okay. So with that, the staff is prepared to answer questions, and Mr. Martin's in the audience, and he's prepared to answer questions, too.
Any questions from the board this time? Okay. I guess we're going to take public comment on this item right now. And so we'll invite anyone that has anything to say about this to step to the lectern, please, and give us your thoughts. Excellent. Okay. We'll bring it back to the board then. You had me going there for a second.
And
If the board is going to proceed, we would recommend that you approve the agreement as amended by your general manager.
This is a good time to be asking because my yard's good and clean from community cleanup week. I appreciate the extra service this week. Director Sparks, no? Okay. Well, we're in need of a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the resolution and authorize the president to execute the amended and restated solid waste collection, recycling, and green waste franchise agreement with Mission Country Disposal as modified by the general manager.
Second.
Could we have a roll call vote, please, Ms. Vega?
Director Sparks.
Yes.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Schicker.
Yes.
Vice President Tacker.
Yes.
President Sesenia.
Yes. Unanimous. Thank you. With that, let's see, that takes care. Oh, let's see. We're back to consent calendar item 6. Received district statement of cash balances as of August 27, 2008. Actually, right now, let's take a quick 5-minute break. I need a drink of water, and this may be a lengthy item. I don't know. But we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Tom's already left.
Good evening and welcome back to the Los Osos Community Services District. Where are we at? September 4th meeting. We're on to consent calendar item number 6, received district statement of cash balances as of August 27, 2008. And this item's been pulled for separate discussion.
I guess the main item here is that there's a transfer being made from the LIF account to the general checking account. Is that correct?
Yes, $193,000 has been transferred.
Okay. So what we'd see there is that our general checking would be on the order of approximately $260,000 after the transfer. And then, going back to where we were cash balances in April during the budgeting time, I believe we were, aside from having that extra money in the LIF, our general checking typically, I think, is run in the range of $500,000 to $700,000. And with this transfer, there's nothing in the LIF but designated reserves, and the general checking is just at $270,000. My concern here is that to call a spade, we're barely afloat. And later in the items, we talk about approving, appropriating for the final fiscal year 07-08, where we have to appropriate more money. And my concern now is that we are in the process of expending money. We haven't paid those bills yet in July, August, September, that are significant on the prior board meeting and at the first of week of August for the water rate study. Again, I think there's unbudgeted expenses because the acceptance of we didn't accept the lowest responsive bidder. And I think when we add those up, my concern is when we add those up that weren't budgeted, and I think we need to look at this immediately and see how we're going to address it, because in hearing these court dates, these hearings are going to be heard, but these decisions aren't going, and there'll be ongoing activity, and these decisions aren't going to be coming down, such as the insurance, to know where we stand, and we can't run the CSD based on claims that we don't know that we have. That would just be bad practice. So I think, I don't know what specific action. I don't know if we need to have an emergency meeting, but I think financially we have a situation here that we have to address in some manner. You know, I don't know the specific way to do it, whether we need a special emergency meeting to discuss this and determine what cuts we might have to make, what decisions we might have to make. I don't think we can wait for mid-year adjustments. We're in the position where I think we have potential payables that are going to be coming in for July, August, and September that are probably, I'm just guesstimating, on the order of 80 to 100,000, and we've already essentially made a budget adjustment another 15,000 with the water rate study. So if we don't do something, the other option is we'll have to go into reserves. And I still have a lingering concern.
If I may respond, Mr.
Yes, President. Do you have?
Staff does not share Director Sparks' immediacy concerns. I want to point out that in years past, we have transferred much more money than that from the LAIF fund during these very short.
Okay.
During these very short. During this time of the year where we are very short on revenues. That unfortunately led you to believe that you were flusher than you were, which is why I've insisted that we set aside this $400,000 in the reserves. Now, that's reserves are there for a reason. Reserves are there for reserves. If we need to do it, then the staff will certainly be back to the board saying, recommending transfer XYZ from ABC fund and just keep us afloat. So, yes, we're not in outstanding shape, but to say that the payrolls have not been met, that's not correct, Mr. Director Sparks. We have, in fact, paid all of our payrolls.
I didn't say that.
I'm sorry. I thought that was the impression you gave, that we had not paid. We had not booked July. Excuse me. I have the floor, I believe. You did say, I believe, that we have not booked July and August and September payrolls, and I just beg to differ with you. What did you say?
I said expected payables.
Payables. Okay. I just took exception to the barely hanging on bit because we do have some reserves that we've been able to build up. And I agree that, yeah, it's always an issue that when we're having to import cash that...
Having said that, we're not in good shape, and I do appreciate Director Sparks, most of his comments. We're right on. We have to watch this extremely careful. We certainly, at the rate we're going, are not going to be anywhere near waiting to the mid-year adjustments. We'll have to make some before. I should mention, incidentally, and I should have mentioned this in my comments earlier, we did negotiate a downward fee in the water rate study, and we're now down to $39,000, which is still more than the other competitor, but we budgeted for $45,000, so there's a $6,000 savings there. Again, it's not a pretty picture, and I do respect and appreciate Director Sparks making those comments.
And again, my big concern is that the other thing is I don't have, Mr. Schimpf, I don't have what I would need is I would need, you know, a cash flow analysis that would give me that comfort. And not having that here, from a financial perspective, I can't see that, particularly, again, when I know we have unbudgeted expenses. So knowing we have unbudgeted expenses and not having any visible cash flow analysis, I'm concerned that the district is engaging in expenditures that it doesn't have designated appropriations for. Because we have, I think, three cases, you know, that fall into that category that we have commitments for without... I don't know where the funds are coming from.
I don't know what to say. I mean, obviously we have to move this cash.
A couple months just to make sure where we knew where we were at. And I think I agree with Director Sparks. That'd be helpful for us to see something. I had a question, though, too. On the funds under legal and contractual restrictions, you have listed two redemption accounts, and I wondered why you were calling them both redemption, and can you change the name or adjust the name? One's the custody redemption, which I'm assuming that's our payback, our reserves, but I'm not sure. I don't know. Reserve account. Could you distinguish those three accounts there for me, please?
Well,
use your, make sure you're on. And I think you're on.
Am I on?
Speaking of the issue.
Okay. Testing. Well, the Bank of New York, I understand from the history, was the first paying agent bank. And then that's supposed to be closing to the U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank is the current paying agent bank. But I don't really know where the... I think we are working with... is it Merrill Lynch, John, to close the account so that it combines with U.S. Bank? And that would primarily... The balance there in Bank of New York, I understand, should go to the reserve portion of U.S. Bank.
That's our beginning to pay back our borrowed reserve. Is that correct? Or,
well, I think it was already considered in this whole picture. I think that's part of the required reserve. I understand the reserve is like $1.5 million, and we borrowed $800,000. So we yes, but that is part of the reserve. Yes.
Okay, and then the redemption account has $822,000 in it. Does that mean we have not paid our bond payment for the fall yet? According to this cash balance,
well,
and that we're going
that?
To? Redemption account, third
the second
down.
U.S. bank, that's redemption. That is the amount to pay the bond.
This month, right? This September?
Yeah, I think it's September.
It's usually due September 2nd or so?
Yeah. It's
so it didn't show yet, and it's being paid like now? Okay, I just wanted to check
it's
on
It's
that.
Automatic. U.S. Bank now does that automatically. We don't pay the bill from here. So when I get the next statement from
they
U.S.
Will have
Bank, I can see that it was withdrawn.
Yeah. And I guess for the benefit of the public who might be watching, what we did after bankruptcy to make sure this was done correctly is we worked with our MBIA insurance and we worked with everybody to make sure that we set up accounts according to what the contract said, what they thought it said, and this is how they wanted to do it. So the bond monies that come in now, as assessed, they go straight to this account,
right.
And they go straight and paid, and there's no room for problems. And that's the way it's going to be set up from now on. That's right. And I just wanted to make sure that the names of these accounts is confusing, and we might want to work on that because one is supposed to be called the redemption account. And you're just saying one's being transferred over.
Yeah, they all become either reserve or redemption.
Departments?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
105,000.
The 105?
105.
Right, okay. The... You know, Keith brought up about WillDad earlier, and part of the reason you're in this bond redemption and bond reserve situation is, you know, the money was spent that came in that wasn't going into a separate account. He was paying bills above and beyond what the budget showed. Another reason why, and we've said this before, I think you have a case against WillDad. They were supposed to provide professional services so you didn't get in these situations. And, you know, it would be nice to have cash flow analysis again. But, you know, the district up until the first election never had cash flow analysis. We used to ask Mr. Buell repeatedly, meeting after meeting, can we get a cash flow analysis? Then there were a few. Then there were none. For probably a year, and then Nana Jane did a few. I think it's something, I agree with Joy, I think it's something that you need to see on an ongoing basis, especially with some of the things that are coming forward, you know, reduction in property tax revenue over expected increase in property tax revenue, which affects, you know, the administrative department, it affects the fire department budget. It may affect some of these reserve set-asides. If the money's not available, some of those reserve set-aside accounts, district staff may not be able to put that amount in each year. So you may be looking at a budget adjustment there. This is typical, though, that this is the lean time of the year for this district. The first 3 months, typically, are you're going to have your lowest cash flow balances until the first property tax revenue comes in, the rest of what's available after the fire tax. The contract with CDF is deducted. And I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
Don Bearden, Los Osos. I'm looking at these funds that you want to transfer or that are being transferred. And I see you're transferring $10,000 out of drainage again. That drainage money was voted on by the people of this community to go to do drainage projects. I don't even know if it's legal for you to keep stealing the money out of the drainage fund, which is voted for a specific purpose, and putting it and using it for whatever you want to. That's my big concern. When we voted on that, what did it say? And it says on my tax bill, this is for drainage. And how can we keep taking that money and use it for things other than drainage? Thank you.
That actually pertained to item five, which we'll be dealing with next. But it all kind of relates to finances. No, we'll be meeting in 2 weeks.
We will be meeting in 2 weeks. I mean, I don't want to have ongoing expenses that we haven't budgeted for. And I mean, that's why I didn't approve the budget. And I don't think it's the right mode of operation to have ongoing expenses that we're not budgeting for. And I think we should see the cash flow analysis and make the budget changes now. At least we have 3 months more data. We should be able to have a projection of we should budget for. The budget is the plan, and we're operating without a plan. I'd propose cuts different when we had the budget. I don't know what to do. I'd like to have a, readjustment meeting for that. And, now that it's 3 months in, the items that I would have proposed for this fiscal year, we'd only be able to get 75% of them. But I think we need to go back to that discussion and look at rebudgeting. If we don't budget it, we're not planning it. And so can have an agenda item, and then I would want staff to have, look at, again, recommended cuts. And come back to the board that, and also have the budget adjustments. And if they have to take it out of reserves, then that's the plan. We take it out of reserves. Either way, the public sees it. The public knows it. We make the decision. Otherwise, to me, it's operating without a plan, and that's just not the way we should do it. And I'd also like to make sure on the item that came up in the audit, if the board needs to ratify something, that it does so. On the November transfer that was identified, if it was not transferred according to the general ledger, sometime else that's fine. I'd just like to know it. If it was, and it was post petition, and the resolution under which it supposedly was going to be transferred was based on going to wastewater. If it actually went to operations, then the board should know that, and then the board should make. Understand that and ratify that, and then that means to me that the Water Quality Trust, even though it's owed $280,000, is it owed from wastewater? Is it owed from operations? I don't know. I don't have that. I don't want to look up that general ledger again tonight because there were five entries, two reversing, all in the same month. But it represents the material state of the district, which I just want to make sure this board understands. But I'd like to have, I don't want to wait for a mid-year adjustment. I didn't agree with the budget. I'd like to have an interim adjustment. And we need some proposals. And we need proposals of cuts. And if there's service effects associated with it, then we have to deal with that. But to me, taking from, you know, let's take it as an example. We're going to have an excess in expenditures of $300,000. Well, do we consider raising, going back for a franchise fee increase, a water rate increase, just so we can make the budget? To me, taking out of reserves is just is basically making a service cut as well, because it's making its impact. We're expending them because, or the district's expending them, the board is, because it's a necessary function of the district to expend those. So, yeah, they're legal fees, but, you know, we've been doing it for we've had 3 years where the admin went from 700,000 in 2004-05 and has jumped up basically to any, you know, on an average of 1.1 million for three straight years, and it's just, you know, it's just unsustainable. So, and I can't, and I don't think any of us can assume that, A, you can't base your budget on claims, and B, you can't necessarily assume that it's going to go away. I mean, what's our experience with legal fees? Do they go away? No. So, I'm just, do we all hope that they do? Yes. But will they? I'm not counting on it right now.
Director Tacker.
I wasn't able to participate in a little bit earlier discussion, so maybe this got asked and answered already, but I'd like to know, from staff's point of view, what would have prevented us getting into this immediate need? Would there have been a way to watch this more closely? Did something happen, that one big expense happen that sort of tipped the scale where we should have been maybe drawing a little bit out of the LAIF over the last few months? Why is this such an emergency? I mean, immediate attention is what's the terms used in the staff report. So how did it get to be such a high alert?
We were hoping that we wouldn't have to do it. So, you know, we were playing it as close as we could, but within the last couple of weeks we realized that, you know, given the time of the year, we weren't going to do it. And we first kicked around taking out just 100, but we finally said, let's take out everything that's there, and if we wind up with excess, we'll put it back. But so it was a one-time shot. Did it sneak up on us? Yeah, we're still learning the system, Ampi and I. We're still trying to figure out exactly how it all fits together and when we get the various bills in and when we get the various revenues in. So there was certainly part of that. I would not expect that we would let it get that close again, which is why we transferred to almost $200,000.
Well, there was a legal bill from, I think, Shoot Mihaly. That was like $50,000 for June, and I don't know what other legal bills were paid in the last couple. I'm sure there are.
Plenty, yes. One other question I had, is there any penalty for us pulling this money out of the LAIF?
No.
Bank accounts that happen, so I wondered if we are going to get...
Thank you. No, it's construed as a savings account, and there's no penalty. We don't get the interest of it sitting in our checking account,
right.
Which is another reason why we were hoping to delay it, but we recognize... belatedly, that we've got a couple of tough months here.
Okay, thank you.
We expect to put it back.
We've had a suggestion for an additional session to deal with this issue.
We'll have to make it. And so along with that, we should project out from there so that we at least, the cash flow analysis. We have projections and budgets for these legal expenses for the Shoot Mihaly, for Sullivan, for the insurance, and we don't base it on getting claims, and we then factor that into the budget, into a cash flow, so that we can see it, because it's going to show that you do or don't have to go into reserves. But I mean, and I think I don't see how you won't, because you know getting below. I don't know historically. I don't know when we ever get as low as below 300,000, and I'd have to go back and look. But I think typically you want to operate with that general checking at, you know, at least 300 to 400. I thought it was more on the order of 500,000 to 700 typically, because you have that buffer for your payroll and your cycles. So it's going to show us that we have to go into reserves, or it will show us that, you know, it shows us that when reserves run out. To me, you know, even tapping in those reserves says we're affecting service the second we tap into those reserves. And I think we're at that. I really think we're at that point. Having 270 in the general checking says to me every additional dollar not budgeted for is going to come out of reserves. I believe that. I just don't see it, you know, in writing here. So I'd like to see that we have the cash limit meeting. I'd like to see proposal for budget cuts. And I think everything should be on the table. And so so that we can make those decisions, assuming that we are going to still, you know, have to go on at legal fees. I mean, if you go out to the logical conclusion, let's say we continue with extra legal fees for, you know, 2 years, without raising fees or taxes, et cetera, now we would be insolvent. And I think what we have to remember is, and the public has to understand, the benefit that this district has right now to this community is being able to not be insolvent while in bankruptcy. That is the absolute worst thing that can happen. We can't allow that to happen.
So other than the cash, okay, Mr. Shemp.
I would like to comment that we provide the cash flow, which, if Director Sparks is 100% correct, will demonstrate very clearly to all that we need to take immediate action. It may demonstrate that we don't need to take any action, or it may demonstrate that we might plan on taking some action in October or November. But until we actually know what our projections are, I think that reviewing a budget that we just approved a month ago and going back into that again is premature. That's my professional opinion.
Mr. Shipp, I got to ask the question. You say our projections. The budget is the projection, and that budget did not budget expenses. So to me, the budget is the cash flow in the sense that if you don't have expenses in the budget, you're dipping in. I'm hearing something different here. I'm saying wait for the projections. The budget is the projection. That's what a budget
be.
I'll make one brief comment. Back in June, I heard that. We'll know more. I know I'll know more next year. I'll also be a year older. But I said it back in June. I don't want to be reactive. I want to be proactive. And I just don't think this is proactive.
Director Sennett.
I couldn't agree more with Director Sparks. Said this is not a sustainable situation that we're in. I think it's the unbudgeted legal fees shining through and ripping holes in our fund balances and other things, the discontinuity between our receipts and our bills. But nonetheless, I think these financial obligations are immediate. They have to be met. And the fund balances have to sustain the bills that we're paying. If we need this money for immediate, to fund the bills that we have, it has to be done. I think we're going to have a workshop to figure out where our revenues going to come from and cash flow. We need to do that, but for right now, this is an immediate need that has to be done. I think it's bearing out that the legal burden that this district is facing is threatening all of our funds. And this might be just a glitch in the cash flow, but it seems to be an indicator. It's threatening all of our funds, and sooner or later, it's going to weigh us down, and we're going to be considering going into restricted funds, those that are not legally restricted. This is a real threat to the district, but that's just kind of my premonition. For right now, I think we need to follow the recommendations of our financial managers and our general manager, and take this money out so we can fund bills. They can't go unmet.
I heard everything except a motion. Oh, do we not need one, Mr.
Yes.
Seitz?
And I'm going to repeat what the general manager probably said, but this isn't a motion to approve. This is just a motion to receive and file. I don't think staff is asking.
Yeah.
This was a public information document. You don't need to approve
the transfer.
The cash flow projections. So I just wanted to point that out, that you don't need a motion to approve it. You just need a motion to receive and file.
I move to receive the report. Thank you. And then just with the suggestions that we've already made.
To do that.
I'll amend the motion for that. I think we'll know a little bit more because we'll have been through federal court, at least the first hearing. We might know more. Just, on the 15th of September, we'll know what's happening with that a little bit more. So.
Can you repeat the motion, please? I heard budget cuts, and I'm not prepared in the next 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, that I think that might be asking a bit much.
I don't
much.
Believe that's what.
I want to respond to Mr. Sparks' request for reality, because we will know more after the 15th, maybe. So I guess that's really all I'm asking. Is that I guess you're not ready for proposed cuts. That would have to be a workshop, more time. So let me try it again. I just want to receive the report, get cash flow analysis, and reflect what happened in court up to the date of the 18th and recommendations or suggestions for how to adjust the budget.
I will second that with another motion to follow the vote.
Ms. Vega, a roll call on that, please.
Yes. Director Sparks?
Yes.
Vice President Tacker?
Yes.
Director Schicker?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
President Sesenia?
Yes.
I move we have a budget workshop the second meeting in October. And we look at these concerns that Director Sparks has raised. I think our picture will be clearer, and it will give staff the time they need. Some 6 weeks to put that together.
Second.
Did you get that, Ms. Vega? Could we have a roll call on that, please?
Can I have some discussion?
Yes.
Mr. Schimpf, how long would you need to put together that?
I don't have an idea. Here's the problem. I believe that there's cuts that can be made, but quite frankly, given their current economic situation of the district, I'm reluctant to lay off employees if, in fact, we're going to be going out of business in 3 months anyway. I can identify certain areas where I believe we should make some cuts or can make some cuts, and I'll be happy to share those with the board. But a lot truly does depend on what happens in the courtrooms. Because once we know our legal expenses, then we can do a better job on the rest of the budget. And I'm not apologizing for the fact that we've highlighted the legal fees and the fact that we've only budgeted for the district council and for bankruptcy. I understand your concerns that is, we're setting ourselves up to take money out of our reserves to pay those legal bills, but that's the way it is. And until we can control those or get some resolution at least, I don't see much else than we can do other than to come back to you with at what point that becomes critical, and we'll have a lot clearer picture in November.
I, at this point, would I think we have a motion on the table, would ask the maker to withdraw that with the understanding that the board is directing the manager to please, in the second meeting in October, start having some of these ideas. Maybe we have an update of potential budget cuts. I don't know if I want to call it a full workshop, but a strategy, an agenda item on strategies on how to deal with the shortfall.
I'm not willing to amend my motion or change it. If someone else wants to make one and mine fails, then so be it.
I'll just make a comment. I guess after hearing the general manager, I'm not going to support the motion because in listening to the general manager, I don't see that anything is going to come of it. So I'm really at a loss what to do. So I, you know, and hearing our general manager, he is basically telling us a workshop is not going to really do anything. So
I don't think that's what we heard. I think we heard that November is when we're going to have a clearer picture about how we're going to be able to deal with this or how, what the real needs are going to be. And it's hard to come up with. I was thinking of that actually last night as how do we, the quickest way to cut budget is reduce payroll. And yet when 1 month's legal bills for one case means someone gets laid off, that is a very serious reality. A year's salary, someone's job goes away just because of 1 month's legal bills. Thank you, Taxpayers Watch. And that's a harsh reality, and I'm not ready to start laying people off yet, I guess, but come November, we have some tough decisions to make. And at this point, we have a motion on the table and a second.
I'll just make one other comment, is that when we passed the budget, even when we discounted these legal fees, we had structural problems. So I think, again, the analogy misses a point. Even without those legal fees, we still had structural problems. Mr. Bearden, because right now, this where we're going doesn't include these legal fees. That's on top of this. And like Mr. Bearden said about the drainage, it goes on his tax bill. So there's existing, with even if we had discounted these legal fees, there were existing problems. So we want to wait, and we'll wait.
Okay, well, let's, Ms. Haggett, take a roll call, please, on the current motion.
I just wanted to clarify the motion is to conduct a budget workshop at our October 16th meeting.
Case against, from Taxpayers Watch. And as of this last Friday, they had billed at $250 an hour, which is a very reasonable rate for an attorney. They had billed the district $175,000. And let me just tie this a little bit to our budget discussion in that had we seen a budget that showed the cuts necessary and the skeleton crew in which we would live with, perhaps, if Taxpayers Watched, was watching or cared about the staff that would be losing their jobs, they might have seen individuals that they care about in our office without a job, or a district office that's closed 2 days a week or 3 days a week, or other limited hours or limitations or other services cut, because our budget would then have reflected the what was estimated at some $500,000 should these lawsuits go to fruition. If we had a real budget in front of us that showed us that, doesn't mean we had to adopt it. And we, you know, obviously we adopted something different. But if we had seen one, the harsh reality would have been people with lives affected in our office. And I think, you know, that's what we're looking at now, is the outcome of not really seeing it ahead of us. Now it's reactionary. So I just want the public to know that these lawsuits are hurting the district tremendously, and you will see it in your services, because there will be cuts if the bleeding doesn't stop.
Okay. You're welcome. Now we're on to, I guess it's combination of consent calendar item 5 and general action item C, which would be approve 07-08 budget adjustments and reserve for encumbrances, along with approving financial statements for the period ending June 30th, 2008. And Mr. Schempf, do you have something for us?
I'm going to defer to our accountant, Amparo Haber. Ampi, would you lead the discussion on these two items, please?
Which one first, item 5?
Yes.
Well, this is to give an overall review for the year 2007-2008. And overall, it's not so bad. It's only in the admin budget that was hit because of legal fees. And, of course, a little bit of property taxes. But the big drain, as expected, is in legal fees. We paid $478,000 in legal fees. That's awfully, awfully big. And so, you know, it is dragging. Well, that's it. I'm open to questions.
Any board discussion at this point? Yes, Director Schicker.
Ms. Haber, you see that otherwise all the other funds are performing as expected. And,
there are overall there's a little problem with water, but they came out, the equity change, there was a deficit of $66,000. But it's basically they came out a little short in water revenues and non-operating revenues, but it's. But we don't need to backfill it, because the salaries and wages exceeded the budget by $61,000, and due to the increases, and this was anticipated even in the last report. This is backfilling this budget. This is an enterprise budget. So it's not really this, from a technical point, for enterprise budget. The budget is a spending plan, and it does not necessarily function as a legal appropriation. But admin is a governmental fund, so there's a legal budget control. so we are not asking the water be backfilled. They have especially so because in the last audit report, they had a very high retained earnings. So the whole fund is not in the hole. So. But otherwise, yeah, the rest of the funds did very well, especially the fire district, the fire fund.
I bet we won't be budgeting based on expected grants that maybe won't come through next time. It looks like we were budgeting for a $50,000 grant that we expected to get but didn't.
For the fire, yeah, but that is offset. We call that a wash. Because if you don't get a grant, you don't get to spend it. So it does not have an impact on the budget.
Okay. That would have been to cover something that was non-critical.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Mr. Shemp.
I want to emphasize that just that promise, in light of the comments from board members, we're going to be watching this real carefully. We have to, for lots of reasons. And we're getting smarter every day. That's about all I can say. We're getting more and more information. We're getting more and more comfortable with the situation. I shouldn't say comfortable with the situation, but comfortable with the input, the revenues, the information that we're getting. And it's our goal, wherever possible, to pass as much of that, all of it, on to you in a form that makes sense. You may not like the news. I'm sure you weren't excited about seeing the fact that we transferred $193,000. But looking back, I don't even think you were told in the past when it was being transferred. So we're trying to make it as transparent as possible. And it's not a pretty picture. Director Sparks, I don't in any way, is. I'm not saying that he's wrong. I'm just saying that I don't feel quite the urgency, but we will certainly be watching it extremely carefully, and I know that you folks will be as well.
Well, I just wanted to make a quick comment. For what it's worth, I appreciate you telling us that you're doing it. And that was what kind of messed us up right in the beginning. Well, some of you here know, but Bruce took $1.2 million out of LAIF reserves, and he didn't tell us. He didn't disclose it. He didn't tell us. And that caused a repercussion of problems that cascaded the whole year of 2005-06. And I do appreciate you at least sharing with us how you're doing it. A quick question I had on the $400,000 is, where in this packet do you show which reserves are giving which? Where the $400,000 is allotted? I was looking for it, and I didn't find it.
It was in the budget package. It's not here tonight. But that's a good point. Because we're probably going to be looking at those reserves sooner than we'd like. We'll start putting that. We'll just make sure that list is in every package. That's a good point. Thank you.
And for my benefit, once again, could you just tell me what they were? You said something, 105 for fire. What else for the 400? Do you have it? I could just write it down.
I have the package from last time. And let's see. Okay, we put 100,000 to admin, 105 to fire, 5,000 to Vista de Oro, 160,000 to water, 30,000 to drainage. Yeah, it's page 47 of the prior, I think, what was that? August 7.
Yeah, we do appreciate the clearer picture. I mean, we all may have a different reality on how to deal with situations, but we have to be looking at the same picture, the same reality, to formulate those ideas. And so it is what it is. Bring the medicine. So at this point, let's see, we pulled this for a separate comment. So is there any public comment on this item tonight? It was consent calendar item 5.
Phil, admin, due to the legal fees, You will note that I said we are not really backfilling shortfall in revenues. Really, technically, it should be. But because it has like over $1 million in deficit in that fund, due to all the old accounting practices that were not realigned right, you know, backfilling the revenues this time is a drop in the bucket. So I didn't even bother about that. We are just backfilling the shortfall in appropriations. So officials who approve the payments for those will not be personally liable. So anyway, so this is, and then I added something at the bottom where we Phil asked that after we grab away from his fund, if he could add the remaining to his reserves. And otherwise known as sinking fund. I call it designation for vehicle equipment replacement reserve. That's actually should be the official name. But anyway, so we are putting in 40,000. And then the bottom of the page is just to let you be acquainted with this reserve for encumbrances. So you won't be surprised when you see a financial report with increased budgets that you did not approve. You don't really need to approve reserve for encumbrances. This is submitted as an information. It automatically carries its funding. A reserve for encumbrance carries its funding because that's already charged to a budget of a prior year. But that budget will then be added and rolled, we call it carried forward, to the next year so that we can pay the bill against it. I don't know. It's just kind of like maybe you're not used to that, but that's the way it works.
Thank you. Yeah, again, all our actions tonight will be just receiving the reports.
This is an action.
This is an action. Approve. Okay, proposed adjustments. So we'll need separate motions on these. But we'll take public comment on
Mr.
both.
Mr. President, thank you, Ampi. There were a couple questions I asked a couple days ago that and actually, I'm looking forward to getting answers on the ones that you weren't able to answer. When we looked at the water fund and we had budgeted in 2006-07, we specifically allocated $50,000 to be used for the next year's payment by setting that reserves. We see in 2007-08 that money that we had allocated for that was never transferred. And so I think it would help. I don't understand why right now. On that $50,000, because we specifically allocated $70,000 for wastewater administrative expenses up until AB 2701 became effective, and then we also allocated $50,000 to the water back from staff. Is we have no means to fund our administrative expense for that. So
the
state has put the state has put us in a catch-22. But I guess I'm still not convinced by your responses that the interest and dividend income are truly restricted use, and I didn't go back and look at the bond covenants, and I didn't see the source document that says that. I see that we say that, but it's just not clear to me where that originates from.
Well,
what covenant says that we have to use the interest income is restricted or dividend income is restricted? The assessment payments, I understand, but it's not clear to me.
It's kind of hard to understand it. What happened there is part, I think it's either the dividend or income or interest, but anyway, those accrue to individual bank accounts. Okay, one of those bank accounts is frozen by the court. So it is the frozen money is increasing automatically. We cannot take that away without court order anyway. So it is actually functioning as if it's an automatic reserve. So it's restricted right by the fact that that account is frozen by the courts.
I hear you, and I'm not disagreeing with you. You say the account was frozen. Mm-hmm. Again, but I understand that, but we're talking about interest income and dividend income. And I think I'd really like to understand, is that court decision really govern not the account that was frozen, but does it govern interest income, dividend? And again, I think I want to find out whether legally this board has the latitude, because we have ongoing administrative expense for Fund 600, and it seems to me if we truly do have latitude in these two, that's where we would fund it, for things like the Tri-W, anything associated with these Fund 600 fixes. Because otherwise, the other services are basically paying for a wastewater service that the state prohibits us from performing. But we're a custodian, in essence, for this Fund 600, and we have no way of funding our custodial activities. We're in a catch-22. And if it's just unfair and we got to live with it, that's so be it. But I guess I still haven't, to my satisfaction, seen something definitively that either the interest or the dividend income, we truly don't have any latitude with that.
So. I don't know exactly what the court order says. I mean, we can look into that. But usually what is done is if there is a principle that is frozen or restricted, the income on that is usually also restricted. Now, I don't know. This could be a different case. We can look into that. But I'm really surprised why you say expenditures in wastewater are not covered by funding, because every line is covered. The administrative expenses, like for Wallace Group, for the for putting together the assessments, those are covered by a special service charts. Of course, we have to work on that, a court order on that one. But fence, the rental of the fence for the Tri-W, and that is covered by a specific bank account right now, and I'm not really sure where that money came from. I could see there were some receipts and there were some admin transfer way back when. And after the end of next fiscal year, it will still have 9,000 balance. So that is covered. And bank service charges, those are covered by the admin charge assessment. Consulting services is covered by the frozen funds. When the courts release, they have released the 200,000, which we are using, plus the 10,000 monthly. Then other admin charge that should be covered again by the assessment admin charge. So I don't know of any line in here that is not covered by a funding source.
Well, when I say administrative charge, Mr. Seitz's time, our staff time, Mr. Schimpf's time.
Oh, okay.
We incur.
I see what you're saying.
It's probably on the order of 20,000-30,000 a year in staff time. The time dealing with the bankruptcy.
Yeah,
there's a overhead that this district incurs, and so all the other funds contribute to admin. This fund doesn't, and yet we have the responsibility to do it, and that's what I'm. That's
yeah.
What I'm
I see what you're saying. Those are not in the budget of 600. It has not been historically. Those overhead allocations have not been done, and so that could relieve the admin fund a little bit if we allocate. Overhead allocation is an issue anyway at this point. We need to come up with a better way of allocating indirect costs, and even direct costs is still kind of a fuzzy issue that we need to look into. But we could look into the court order and see if any income to those accounts are also frozen. Although I have a feeling they are, but we'll look at the court order.
Either of the Johns have something for us? Thank you.
Well, I was sorry, we were convincing over here. I was just curious as to where this Fund 600 came from, what monies from the sewer project are in here. Is it, and I'm not, and I don't know the answer to it, but I was just wondering if this was SRF funds, was this SRF assessment district funds, was this assessment district funds? I mean, what is in actually?
Deals did not complete.
Yeah, I just, okay. I was just curious as to tracing these funds back just to have an understanding where they came from. But.
Yeah, well, one account is $2 million, a little over $2 million. So it's a big
$2 million income from the assessments. Yeah. That, I believe, is SRF, is it not? I do have a comment, and I may be dead wrong, but I need to do some research on this, particularly answering Director Sparks. I suspect that the reason one of the problems here is that if we were current on our payments, then we might be able to use the interest. That's a guess, but because we're not current, they're keeping every penny they get to build back to that. Withdrawal from years back. That's only a guess, and I need to do some more research on that. And it's compounded, as Ampi mentioned earlier. We're such small potatoes, unfortunately. This is big money to us, but to U.S. Bank, it's hard to get their attention to get this thing cleared up and get the money actually, get these accounts resolved. So we're still working on it. Now that we have a budget, now that we have an audit from last year, that's going to help, but it's just getting their attention. So we're working on it, and I don't have all the answers.
Any further board discussion before we move on to public comment? Okay, at this point, we'll accept public comment on, I guess it's consent calendar item 5 and action item C.
Karen Vendetti. Just wanted to make a comment about something that several directors had talked about, and that is being proactive. I had heard something from the general manager saying, well, it's not an emergency yet, and when it's an emergency, we'll deal with it. And I know the way that I conduct my own personal life and finances is that I like to be anticipatory. I like to make the cuts now that I see are doable. I want my government, my town, to be as efficient as possible. So I'm hoping that even though we don't anticipate coming to that deciding point of whether or not this is an emergency until November, we still should be living smartly. Efficiently. So I would really encourage that when you take a look at that cash flow analysis and the potential cuts, that we don't wait until it's an emergency, yay or nay. Let's just be smart now. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional public comments on these items?
Hello. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. I was at home watching this, and I don't know exactly everything that's been discussed, but as far as the administration funding for this government, we've been on 11 acres of destroyed Asia by someone who's supposedly interested in our snail preservation. The point being, we don't have any funds coming in. We don't have enough beans to count. And now the county's doing the same thing. I had missed one of the meetings there, and my neighbor told me, well, the county wanted to do some project that the main accountant told them they didn't have the money to do in their budget. And he says some underling came up and said, well, that's okay, we'll put it on the 09 budget. Well, I think, I believe 2701 was already in effect when they voted themselves a raise. And then we found out they're $20 million in the red there. That's worse than the $2 million that Buell went in debt for before we bailed them out with sewer money. This place is a cash cow, and now it's lawsuits that's costing the money by the same people that wasted the $19.5 million. And, we couldn't have a 218 vote before they funded that loan, but it was sure necessary for this last one, so necessary that they had illegal ballots, and we voted them a 218 with a blank check. There's no limit on what the county can spend. They got a blank check. And they're enjoying spending it. I don't know where the money's coming from for these lawsuits, but I know who's trying to break this outfit, and I wish a bunch of the people that live in this community with us would get on top of these people and tell them, they're neighbors. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, additional public comment. Step right up. It's getting late.
Not that late.
Oh. We'll maybe be going back to closed session after this.
Oh, sorry. Richard Margetson. In reference to what we've been talking about all night, the fire department, here's a perfect example. The fire department ran a net fund change to the positive of $96,000. But the Lawyers for Taxpayer Watch lawsuit last year were paid $122,000. So we're $26,000 upside down if you just take those two items. I do have to say that I appreciate Mr. Shemp's stance that and commitment that he will let Phil keep his surplus this next year. I'd be surprised if that happens if the lawsuits continue, but I appreciate the commitment. The other thing to keep in mind is the property tax revenue was budgeted at, I think there may be some hard decisions that have to be made, probably by mid-year. The sooner you can get that lawsuit addressed, we keep saying it, it's, worst case scenario, even if you had to pay $500,000 this year to defend that and weren't getting reimbursed anything, we do have enough reserves to, this district would still be in business at the end of this fiscal year. Not real good shape, but there are enough reserves to meet that budget, because there are some areas that you could just put off a year. I hate to say it, but, there's a contingency line item in the fire department. There's a sinking fund. Those, if they had to be put off, you could survive this year, but that lawsuit's got to be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don Bearden. Taxpayers' Watch keeps getting brought up, and it, like they're to blame for everything. And yet Case and CCLO also brought lawsuits that cost this district money. In fact, as Burke Williams Sorensen, we paid them $187,000, whereas Taxpayers' Watch only got $122,000 lawyers. So I would like to see a list of all the lawyers that got money out of us and how much we paid them each year. Thank you.
Additional public comment? Okay, with that, we'll bring it back to the board. And if there's no additional comment here, I move that we approve financial statements for the period ending June 30th, 2008.
Second.
Ms. Vega, roll call, please.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Schicker? Director Sparks?
No.
Vice President Tacker?
No.
President Sesenia?
Yes.
Mr. President, was that agenda item C?
Consent calendar item five. So we were just accepting the report, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
Just accepting the report. I guess approve might have been a little strong.
Okay.
But now we're on to action item C, which is approve adjusted budget and reserve for encumbrances.
I have a question.
Yes.
And maybe it was on the last item, but since we've had the sort of combined discussion, the question is, and it was raised by Mr. Bearden about the drainage tax that is now being used for admin. I believe he's correct in that money, there is an earmark, and there may be a legal issue, and I would just suggest that staff take a look at that before we raid that fund, because the voters did impose that.
Director Sparks?
No.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Schicker?
No.
Vice President Tacker?
No.
President Sesenia?
Yes.
All I want to say for me is that I'm not ready to do that tonight because I don't have answers. I'm not comfortable with doing it until I get some more answers about some of the situations that were brought up tonight. And it's 10:30, and I'm sorry, it's the wrong time of day to try to do that. And we're exhausted. We've all been working since 7 o'clock in the morning, and I can't do it tonight. Sorry.
I assume that the board does want us to bring this back at the next agenda.
I absolutely believe that would be critical because I believe there was a phrase in here, something about protecting directors from liability for expenditures made without. Yeah. So, yes, we will be bringing that one back. Thank you. Okay.
Is it because of the drainage issue? The only concern here is because these expenditures have already happened.
Yeah, this is 07-08 budget. We're
have
not
already
talking.
Happened.
Yeah, this is 07-08.
I'm confused. I can change my vote to yes. I thought it was for this next year. I'm more concerned about next year. I'm just tired.
Okay. I think that we need actually to restate the motion the second, and then we take the voice vote.
Yeah, that seems appropriate. Okay, let's try that again. I move that we approve the fiscal year 07-08 budget adjustments and reserve for encumbrances.
I'll second that.
Another roll call, please.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Schicker?
Yes.
Director Sparks?
No.
Vice President Tacker?
No.
President Sesenia?
Yes. Okay, that wraps up the agenda for tonight. I think given the late hour, we're going to have 5 minutes, and we have something that Mr. Seitz, did you want to deal with that tonight? Maybe you could pass that out for board review, or shall we just?
Well, I think we should take 5 minutes. We're talking about the general manager's
yes.
evaluation.
Yes.
I think that we need to keep the fire under that.
Okay, a 5-minute closed session we'll adjourn to. That'll be it.
Yeah, and by
you.
The way,
yes, yes.
I just wanted to make the announcement that This is a closed session item. It's continued from the 6 o'clock session, and this has to do with the general manager's evaluation.
Okay, closing board comments tonight.
I'm just going to make a brief comment. We all want to see the legal expenses go down, and I'm hopeful that they will. I'm not going to comment very much on it. I got involved in this because one of the prime reasons was as soon as I read Measure B in the spring of 2005.
Announced earlier in the evening, and I just wanted to underscore those. Starting with September 13th, there's a water conservation afternoon, evening here at the community center. On September 19th, the collection systems workshop event, something, 7 p.m. on that Friday night here at the community center. And then Morro Coast Audubon is having a party celebrating the annexation of the Donovan property to the Sweet Springs Nature Preserve. That's Sunday, September 21st from 2 to 5 p.m. And then a work party for Morro Coast Audubon and Sweet Springs Nature Preserve on the 27th of September from 8:30 in the morning till 12:30 in the afternoon. Bring your gloves, your work boots, and be ready to get dirty. So just those events are good. I think we should all participate. So thank you and good night.
Any others? You don't have to.
I'm just going to say good night and leave it at that.
I just want to say good night, too, and thank you for the people who came tonight to participate. Thank you very much to staff for all that you do.
Yeah, I want to echo staff and the people that watch at home, because I know the watchers are out there, even if they're not down here. Thank you all.